Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bechoros Daf Chof Dalid. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin from the second of the wide lines that you notice on Daf Chof Dalid. However, before we begin the actual study of the Gemara, we would like to recount a machlokes tanoim that we had learned at the end of our previous shiur. You'll notice there is a framed section that appears above the point at which we'll be beginning today's Gemara, in which you see a framed section, a Tanaic source, as all Tanaic sources in our Gemara marking system are framed. It features the case of a purchase of an animal that is nursing from a Gentile. The mother is suckling a young one. The Tanakama, the first opinion in that source, said that the birth that takes place after your purchase of the mother will be a Bechor Misofek. In other words, the Tanakama, as he actually says explicitly, the Tanakama says that an animal will lactate, will nurse even an animal that is not its own. Therefore, the animal that you purchased from the Gentile, there is no guarantee that it has already given birth, because it will nurse even an animal that's not its own. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees and says that uses the expression hadover b'cheskoso, namely that which follows, you can rest assured, is not its first birth. In other words, the next birth that takes place after you bought it from a goy, this animal has definitely given birth beforehand. And therefore, and if you see an animal nursing, currently nursing, that is a sign that it has already given birth. There is now, the Gemara opens up with a question. Ibaya lahoy. Hadovar b'cheskoso dekom Rav Shlom Leo. This expression that you see that was cited in the source, namely hadovar b'cheskoso, the expression that he used, what does that mean? So the Gemara presents two possibilities, and you can see we've noted them with an aleph oy dilmo beis. Does that mean di eino mirachemes elo im kein yoledes? That it has no, it won't show compassion to the offspring of another animal unless it has already given birth. However, when an animal has already given birth, we take into consideration that it will nurse the young of another animal. Oidilma, or possibly, dido mirachmo delo dido lo mrachmole. Or it might be an iron rule that an animal will not show compassion to any other animal other than its own offspring, even in a case where it has already given birth. So according to the first possibility, we're saying that it will show compassion through nursing an animal belonging to something else, to another animal, only if it has already given birth. Therefore, if you see it nursing an animal, it could be that it's someone else's animal, another animal's offspring, because this animal has already given birth. Or it could be that it will never show compassion to another, the animal belonging to another mother. Lamai nafgamina, what practical bearing does this analysis have? Lamuka Allah mishum oisoi ve'espenoi. In order to determine whether or not lashing can be issued for the violation of oiso ve'espenoi. In other words, if someone would, let us say, take this mother animal and the offspring that it is currently nursing and slaughter the two on the same day. There is a general prohibition of slaughtering mother and offspring on the same day. The question is, this nursing mother, is the offspring nursing from it, in fact, its offspring? And now the analysis. E amris dido merachmo delo dido lo merachmo, loki. If you say, like the second side of our question, that it shows compassion through nursing only if it's its own offspring. It will never nurse the offspring belonging to another animal. Now, if you take that approach, in the event that he slaughters the mother and this young one that it's nursing, there will be a violation of Oso Vespino, because we know definitively that a mother animal will not nurse the offspring belonging to any other animal. However, v'iamris the lo dido nami murachmo, if however you go like the aleph possibility, the first side in the question we raised, namely that in the event that it already bore children, it will nurse the young of another. So all I see is I see an animal that is currently nursing an offspring. According to this side of the question, this possibility, it will show compassion through nursing to the young of another animal. Therefore, slaughtering this and the animal currently nursing from it would not be a violation of Oiso Vespino, because this young one that is nursing might belong to another animal, because animals do show compassion through nursing even to those that are not its own. So the question is raised, and the Gemara goes on, my, what is the din? Now, before we go further in the Gemara, what we'd like to do is go over this sugi again by studying our topic heading in the outside margin called the nosei. You'll notice we have the term nosei combined with mivneh, a structural note. We feature the upcoming marking that we see, triangles with a shaded in tip to them. And in our note, we read as follows. Shlavei biur. These triangles represent stages in analyzing Shitas Reb Shlomo Liel, the Omar, who had said, Legabi behemo hamenika, Rabbi Shlomo Liel had said that a nursing animal, She'eno merachemes avlad chaverta, that he mentioned in the Tanaic source that we had opened up today's shiur by referencing, that it will not show compassion to the offspring of another animal. Ha'im ze dafka hecha dolo holida. Is this idea true only if it hasn't given birth? Oyafilu hecha de holida, or even in the event that it did give birth already, it will continue to show no compassion to the offspring of another animal. Nafgamina legabi malkois aloisoi ve'espenoi. This analysis has a practical bearing on the issue of will we issue a lashing penalty for someone who shechts the two of them on the same day. One must bear in mind that lashing cannot be meted out as a punishment unless the violation is one of certainty. So now we continue in the Gemara analysis. We continue with our triangle, the first of the triangles, followed by a Tanaic source. Toshma, Rab Shlomo Omer, Halokech behemo min ha'oved kechavim. If one buys an animal that's nursing its young, and he buys it from a Gentile, Eino choshesh shema bino shel acheres hoya. We do not even doubt that maybe it is the offspring of another. Well, this would lead us to believe that the offspring is definitely that of the animal nursing it. And if that be the case, we would be following, let us say, in our question, the second possibility, namely, didah merachma delo, didah lo merachma, that it will never show compassion through nursing to the offspring of another. And as such, if we say never, it will never nurse the offspring of another, then we have a case of definite mother and offspring, which would lead us to a malkos penalty in the case that he shechts the both of them, he slaughters both of them on the same day. The Gemara rejects this conclusion based on this source. Mi kotani hu? Does it say in this source, Shema b'no shalacheres hu? That would be a definitive statement that we don't suspect that it's the son, that this offspring is the son of another. However, it doesn't use the word hu. It uses the expression hoya, hoya kotani, hochi ko'amar. The Gemara will reread the source with the following clearer understanding, but before we go further, we just want to make note of the direction we're taking, and we have a little note on the inside margin that as a result of this word, sehoya, we can say as follows, ulegabi b'chor, we're reading our note, ulegabi b'chor vadai poter, as far as suspecting that a subsequent birth would be a firstborn, that for sure not. There is no doubt that a subsequent birth will not represent this animal's b'chor. Avolagabi oisei vespinoi ein lahasik devadai shelo. However, with regard to the issue of oisei vespino, we are not to conclude that the animal that is currently nursing from this animal is definitely its offspring. Now, the Gemara. Hochi ko'amar. Since the term hoya appears in this source, we are to understand it thusly. Eino choshesh, shema bino shel acheres. One does not arouse a suspicion that the suckling animal is the offspring of another. Elohim kain hoya lo vlad meikora. Unless this cow bore, or this animal bore, an offspring prior to this. So what are we saying? We're saying that if we know for sure that it didn't give birth at all, then we would say that this is the offspring of the mother. The suckling animal is the offspring of this particular cow. However, if it did bear an offspring before, if this mother animal, this lactating creature, bore an offspring prior to this, then the current suckling animal might be the offspring of another creature. And that being the case, it would not be definitively the offspring of the animal providing the milk, the mother, and therefore there would be no possibility, we could not give Malkus, we couldn't issue the punishment of lashing for Oso Vesbeno. Toshma, we continue in trying to determine what is Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's opinion regarding does a mother nurse the offspring of another. The source says, Nichnas besoich edro, V'ro es ha-mavkiros menikois, v'es she'enon mavkiros menikois. A person enters his flock, and he notices the mavkiros. Those are animals that only now gave birth to their first child. They are nursing, and he notices the enon mavkiros also nursing, the animals that have already given birth to prior children, nursing as well. Eino choshesh shema benoi shel zu bo loi etzel zu, o shema benoi shel zu bo loi etzel zu. We don't suspect that an animal that came from one mother is nursing by another mother. Amai lechush, what would one So, before we go on, what do we see from here? We see that even animals that already gave birth, when they nurse only their young. So this would lead us to believe that the animal found nursing by its mother, this is definitely its mother. As we see in this source, there is never switch around that takes place. And once again, to emphasize the main point, even in a case where you're dealing with an animal that has already given birth to other prior offspring. The Gemara responds, it rejects this. Amai lechush, what would one think, what would give rise to suspicion? Dilma rechumi rochim, that maybe it is showing compassion to the offspring of another. Bemokom dida lo shavkis dida umrachma dolo dida. When an animal is in the presence of its own offspring and others as well, it won't pass up on its own to show compassion to nurse the offspring of another. However, back to our issue, what happens if you have just one mother and one suckling animal present? In that case, it may very well be that its own offspring is not here right now, and that which it's nursing is the offspring of another mother. So that this last source is not definitive as far as what we are looking into. Just to review the point again, what we can conclude is that in the event that a mother is in the presence of offspring of itself and those of others, in such a case, then when it is seen nursing, you can rest assured that it's nursing its own and not the offspring of another. However, when there is only one offspring present, only one young animal present, the animal that's currently suckling might, in fact, be the offspring of some other creature. And therefore, I can't conclude that we will give lashes in the event that one shechts the two on the same day. The Gemara continues. Toshma, hadovor bechezkosoi, vechein. This, you can see, is a quote from the source above. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating where it originally appeared. In this very brief quote from the source, we have, in effect, a resha, and then the word vechein represents the seifa. Now, in the case of the Reisha, we saw Reb Shmuel Amliel saying Hadovor Bechezkosoi. That was referring to a case of someone who bought an animal that was nursing its young. He bought from a Gentile. The Tanakhama said that an animal will nurse the young of others. Reb Shimon ben Gamliel said, no, an animal won't nurse the young of others. Therefore, if you see an animal nursing, you can rest assured that it has given birth already, and that a subsequent birth will be exempt from Bechora. That much we can conclude from Reb Shimon Gamliel's opening statement, namely, Dovor Bechezkoso. Then there was a following. He continued saying, V'chein hoya Reb Shimon Omer, referring to the case of someone who entered his flock and saw first birthers and old-timers nursing. Now, we continue in the Gemara, my lav, reisha dumya de seifa. We should understand the reisha similar to the way we understood the Seifa. The Seifa was the case of Nichnas Le'edro. He entered his flock, and as is explained above. Now, Ma Seifa Vadai Dido, just like in the Seifa. the case featured Mavkiros and Ein Mavkiros, and we said that there is definitely no switch around, and therefore that which is nursing is definitely connected to the animal providing the milk. Af resha vadai dida. So too in the case of someone who bought a nursing cow from a Gentile, the animal that is suckling from it is definitely its offspring. Once again, just like in the Seifa, where we guaranteed, so to speak, that there was no switch around, that the animals nursing were nursing its own and not nursing the offspring of another, as it said in the over there, Eino Choshe Shemo Beno Shel Zu Ba Lo Etzel Zu. That was in the Seifa. So too in the Reisha, where an animal was nursing, and we would thereby conclude our original question. Don't forget, the original question was that Reisha comment of Rav Shmuel Eliel, who said, Hadovar b'cheskasoi, and we asked, how far does Rav Shimon ben Gamliel go when he says that an animal will not show compassion to that of another? So just like in the Seifa, we said it is definitely the offspring of that mother from which it's nursing, so too in the Reisha, the offspring is definitely that from which it is nursing, which would then go, if we refer back to our two sides of the question, it would then go like the Bayes possibility that you can see at the above on the third wide line, that it will never show compassion through nursing to the offspring of another. The Gemara rejects this and says, Midi Iria, who says that the Seifa is necessarily the same as the Reisha? Hai Kidi Isa, Vahai Kidi Isa. Each source, each section of the source is as it is. Namely, in the Seifa, the offspring, since you have a group of animals nursing their offspring, we there are sure that it won't pass up on its own young to nurse the young of another animal. So there we say that which you see nursing is definitely its nursing from it, what is definitively its own mother. However, in the Reisha, we won't say that what we see nursing is definitely from its mother. Don't forget, in the Reisha, we were not dealing with the presence of other offspring and its own offspring. So that in the Reisha, all that we can say is there is definitely a Ptur Bechora that exists, namely any subsequent birth will not be its own. However, will not be its Bechor. However, the animal currently nursing from it may be the offspring of another animal. And therefore, as far as the original question is concerned, we cannot mete out the punishment of Malkos in the event that he slaughters both on the same day. Well, if you're now saying ha kidiso v'ha kidiso, you're saying that the Seifa represents a situation where it's definitely the offspring of that which from which it's nursing, and in the ratio is not my v'chein. Then why in the source does the expression v'chein appear? The word v'chein indicates parallel or similarity. Answer: there is a parallel, and that's aptura de bechora. That it, with regard to subsequent births, just like in the Seifa, any subsequent birth will be exempt from Bechora, so too in the Reisha case, any subsequent birth will definitely be exempt from Bechora. As far as the issue of Oso Vespino is concerned there, we can't say that the Reisha and Seifa are parallel. Just to review, in the Seifa, there we say it's definitely its own young. However, in the Reisha, it could be that the animal that is currently providing milk is nursing a young one. It might be the young one of another animal, and that being a result of the current mother having already given birth. Before continuing in the Gemara, we have a topic heading we call the Nosei. Dinoi shel rabo bar bachano, Amar Yochanan, ro chazir shikoruch acha rochel. Rabo bar bachano features a case where one sees a pig-looking offspring, young pig-looking creature that is bound to a sheep. Bound to a sheep, meaning it's following it around wherever it goes. Rashi adds, not only is it bound to it, but it is also nursing from it. So we have a pig-looking offspring nursing from a sheep. Now, as far as the sheep is concerned, Rabbo Bar Bar Chana says, Ptura min ha-bechora, meaning a subsequent birth will not be its behor. It's this apparent, this pig-looking creature exempts the sheep from the mitzvah of Bechora, leading us to think that the sheep-looking, the pig-looking creature is its offspring. As we have seen in previous sugyas, there's something called a nidme, and that's a situation where the offspring does not resemble the mother. So that as far as its DNA is concerned, this pig-looking creature really is a sheep. So that being the case, well, Rabbi Bar Chana says, when you have this pig-looking animal following and nursing from a sheep, any subsequent birth on the part of the sheep will be exempt from Bechora. In other words, the sheep is exempt from Bechora. A second point he makes is, V'osur bachila. You cannot eat it. Now, that would really suggest that it's a real pig. It's not a nidme. It's a pig. It's an outside creature. It's a pig, a straightforward, full-fledged pig nursing from a sheep. And if that be the case, so then it's a pig, and a pig is forbidden for Jews to eat. So, as we are presenting this din of Rabbi Bar Chana, we're also suggesting that there is a problem. There seems to be a built-in contradiction. The Gemara will deal with this. Turning to the Gemara. Omar Rabbi Bar Chana, Om Rabbi Yochanan, Ro'o Chazir Shekoruch Acha Rochel. One notices a pig-looking creature following and nursing from a sheep. He makes 2 points. Number one, Ptura min ha-bechora. That means any animal born from this sheep, any subsequent birth from this sheep, is not labeled a bechor. What we just said suggests that the pig-looking creature is the offspring of this sheep. If that be the case, it's a freak sheep, which is mutter to eat. Number two, the usur ba'achila. And it's forbidden to eat this pig-looking creature. Ad yavoi v'yoyre tzedek lochem. Until Elio Anovi comes and issues a halachic ruling. The Gemara now goes over the 2 points, spelling out a question. However, there is quite a bit of detail regarding the question, and we've indicated that the question will last a number of lines in Gemara. You can see the kuf that's encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical descending dashed line, indicating that all of the lines of Gemara opposite this marking form the question. So the Gemara, number one, Potter min ha-bechora. The Rabbi Chana said there is exemption from bechora. Keman, based on whom would that statement be? Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. That would follow Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's approach that says that an animal would not show compassion through nursing to the offspring of another animal. So if you see a sheep that's nursing, it must be that this is its offspring. Number two, the osur ba'achila. You cannot eat this pig-looking creature. That sounds like kirabonan, that we are choshesh, that a sheep will nurse the offspring of something else. And in this case, it's nursing the offspring of a pig. Vesu. E kirabonan. If the prohibition of eating is simply because of a suffix that maybe the halacha goes like the Rabbanan. In other words, Rabbi Baruch Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it's possible that we go like Rabbi Shimon Leo, and hence Poter Mibuchora. And it's also Bachilo based on the possibility of going like the Rabbanan. Well, on the one hand, initially, it seems that he's saying a point that's inherently contradictory. Furthermore, if he is ruling like the Rabbanan, don't forget, the Rabbanan said that there is a possibility, there's a chashash, that it will nurse the young of others. Well, if that be the case, my ad yavoi v'yoyre tzedek lochem. What was meant by Rabbi Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yochanan when he said, until Eliyahu Navi comes and issues a halachic ruling? The possibility of going like the Rabbanan is not based on ignorance of a halachic ruling, rather, it's a point of doubt. It's a suffix in Metzias. Namely, I'm not sure as to what the status of this offspring is. And therefore, at sheyivoda loch hadovar miboyalei, Rabbi Baruch Hanan should have used this expression. He said, until it becomes clear. In other words, the Rabbanan would be saying it's osur bachila until it becomes clear whether this is the offspring of the sheep and it's a freak, or it's really it's a pig offspring. So the expression of ad yavo v'yoyre tzedek lechem is not appropriate here. V'chitemo misafkale, you might try to justify his use of the expression of ad yavoi v'yoyre tzedek, because misafkale I halocha kum shumam liol I karabonan, that he is misupik whether we paskin, and we've not underlined the expression halocha, because of this, we would justify the use of his expression of ad yavo v'yore tzedek lechem. So maybe that's what is bothering Rabbo Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yochanan, namely a doubt whether we rule like Rabbi Shmuel or the Rabbanan. Well, if that be the case, e misafkale, amai poter min avachora. If he is in doubt, why does he issue a definitive exemption from bechora? Don't forget, because if he's in doubt, maybe then the halacha is like the Rabbanan. And if the halacha were like the Rabbanan, they have been known to say that an animal will nurse the offspring of others, even if it itself hasn't given birth at all. So that any subsequent birth might in fact be its own firstborn. Vesu, further problem. Mi misafka lei, is Rabbi Hanan Om Rabbi Yochanan even in any doubt about these matters? V'yomar Rabbi Baruch Hanan Om Rabbi Yochanan, kol mokim shishon Shimon Leo v'mishnosenu, wherever Rabbi Shimon Leo appears in Mishnayos, halacha kamoso, the halacha will follow his ruling. Chutz me'orev v'tzidon v'raya achrono, with the exception of these three halachas that we won't delve into at all, just mention that orev, tzidon, and raya achrono are expressions that refer to three Mishnayos, or three areas of halacha, where even though Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel appears, we won't follow his opinion. However, you can't say that Rabbi Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yochanan is in doubt as to whether the halacha follows the Rabbanan or Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. We just got finished saying, wherever Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel appears, the halacha will go like him, unless it's one of these three cases, and we're not dealing with these exceptions now. So, as we are at the end of our long question, basically trying to make sense of what Rabbi Bar Bachan, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us. The Gemara answers, the Olam Pshita Le Halacha Kavshum Amriyo. It is obvious, or is definitive, according to Rabbi Bar Chana, that the halacha will go like Rav Shmuel Leo, namely that there is a ptur b'chora. The question is, why is there an iser achila? Mihu, misafkale, what Rabbi Bar Chana is in doubt about, and hence we will need Ad Yavo Yoret Tzedek Lechem, I Sovar Rav Shmuel Leal Yoledes Merachemes, Oy Eino Merachemes. What Rabbi Bar Chana is in doubt about is whether, according to Rav Shmuel Leal, an animal that has already given birth, will it show compassion to other young ones? Or Eino Merachemes means it will never show compassion through suckling, through nursing, with regard to other young ones. So that, if you say like the first of these two possibilities, namely the Aleph that we've written in, that Rav Shmuel Leal holds Yoledes Merachemes, so we have a sheep that's nursing a pig, it might be an actual pig, and therefore it would be Osir Bachila. So that's what Rabbi Chana is in doubt about, and that's why he comes to the conclusion of Osir Bachila. But it's all within the Shita of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. The Gemara asks, Ihochi ad de ashminin chazir, then instead of telling me about, using an example involving a pig, the shaminon tle ulamilki ala mishum oisuv esbeno. Why not present the halacha instead of at what Rabbi Bar Chana said in his opening, raw chazir shikor achorochel, you could just say raw tle koruch achorochel, and the issue then would be an issue of oisei vesmeno, if you were to slaughter the two on the same day. So the question right now is, why, if Rabbi Bar Chana and Rabbi Yochanan is really going straight Rabbi Shimon Leal, don't forget, the original Rabbi Shimon Leal didn't deal with a case of a chazir. We should have stuck to the case of a tleh. So the Gemara says, chazir itzderich olei. Rabbi Bar Chana and Rabbi Yochanan had an agenda in teaching the case of chazir. What do I gain by having featured the case of chazir? As follows, Di ashminin tleh, had he spoken about the case of a sheep, a lamb nursing from a sheep, hava amino, I would have thought as follows, im timtzelomar de sovar yoledes merachmo, even if you say that an animal that has already given birth will show compassion, de mino, it will show compassion only to its own kind. The lo, mino lo, it would never show compassion to the offspring of another. Well, and if you follow this approach, if you would then see a chazir nursing from a rochel, then it's got to be the mother, this is its mother. And then you would be allowed to shecht it and eat it. Therefore, Ashme'inin Chazir, Rabbi Chana therefore taught the case of Chazir, V'afilu delav mino nami, de'ika lememar dilma merachmo. We tell you the case of Chazir, raising the possibility that even the offspring of another, it will show rachmanis to, it will nurse, and that being the case, the chazir would actually, could be, since it's a lav mina, it could be an actual chazir, and that is why it will be asur b'achila. So just to go over this last point, had we taught the case of tle, I wouldn't have known definitively how far the merachamo goes. I would have thought that the concept of a merachamo would extend only to the offspring of another animal, provided it's the same variety as itself. And if we had stopped with that, I would have then said that if you see a pig nursing from a sheep, it must really be a sheep that is freakish, that happens to simply look like a pig. Because if it were an actual pig, so lav mino lo merachmo. Therefore, Rabba Bar Chanan Rabbi Yochanan features the case of the pig, the pig-looking creature, thereby opening up the possibility that even lo mino merachmo, and on that side of things, the pig might be an actual pig and hence forbidden to eat. Bahainu the Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Based on this, we understand that Rabbi Yochanan, or this we should say, is parallel to that which Rabbi Yochanan says about Rav Achoy's question. Boi Rav Achoy. Apparently, Rabbi Yochanan reports that Rav Achoy asked a question along these lines. The Gemara says, Boi Achoy Bribi, we're at the very top of Chof Dalet Amud Beis. Achoy Bribi means the great Achoy. Bribi is a title of distinction. He raises a question. And we could point out, by way of Gemara structure, the question itself lasts till the line above the Mishnah. For this, we, by the way, we have a long question marking that you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. So Rav Achoy Bribi asks, Ro chazir shekoruch achar rochel. If one noticed a pig-looking creature following and nursing from a sheep, mahu. That's his question. However, the Gemara will now analyze the question itself. Mai komi bayale. What's Rav Achoy asking about? If the focus of his question is a question concerning the issue of Bechora, firstborn, and what Rav Achoy is possibly asking about is, do we follow Rav Shlomo Amliel and would then say that that which comes afterwards is exempt? Or maybe the halacha goes like the Rabbanon, that an animal will nurse even the offspring of others, and hence any subsequent birth might in fact be its own firstborn. Well, then, if that's what Rav Achoy is asking about, namely, is the halacha like Shmuel, or is the halacha like the Rabbanon? Tiboy le tleh. Then he should have raised his question as follows, that raw tle shekor hacharoch, where one saw a lamb following a sheep, which is the example concerning which Rav Shmuel and the Chachamim argued about, as Rashi says. Rashi is the hobbit tle pligi. Why did Rav Achoy raise his question concerning a pig? So the Gemara responds, Ki komibayale lebechora. Now there are two parts to understanding Rav Achoy. In other words, Rav Achoy Bribi was actually asking a two-part question. So he was asking Aleph lebechora v'aliba de Rabbanon. He wanted to know what do the Rabbanon hold with regard to bechora, and l'achila v'aliba de Rav Shlomo Amliel, a question concerning eating, and what would Rav Shlomo Amliel's stance be in such a case. And now the Gemara spells out all of the details to these, let's call two parts. And structurally, what the Gemara will do, it will go over the Aleph and Beis points, and you can see with our markings, we present Aleph, the issue of Bechora, and the question itself is made of two parts, with an O Dilma in the middle, and you can see that's squiggle underline. And then the Gemara will go to the Achila issue, and analyze that, also showing you a couple of sides. So, we Gemara goes on. Rav Achoy was asking, Aleph, Lebechora, the issue of subsequent births being firstborn, Ve'afilu L'Rabbonon Di Amri Merachmo, even according to the Rabbonon that say that an animal will nurse the offspring of others, Ki Merachmo Demino. It could be that when we say it will nurse the offspring of others, that's if it's the offspring is of the same variety as the mother. Deloy mino lo, but something that's of a different variety, a mother would not nurse it. Now, if according to this, if you see a pig-looking creature nursing from a sheep, then you'd have to conclude it's simply a freakish sheep, and it's definitely its own. And as a result of that, this sheep will be exempt from Bechora. Oy Dilma, Deloy Minon Amim Rachma. Or it could be that the Rabbanan goes so far as to say that a mother type animal or a lactating animal will nurse animals of a totally offspring of a totally different variety. And if that be the case, if you open that as a possibility, that a lactating animal will nurse creatures of a totally different variety, then the subsequent birth that this lactating animal undergoes might in fact be its own firstborn. That would be called Bechor Misofek. So that's one part of the analysis of Rav Achor Rubi. Le'achila, another point that he had as part of his agenda was the issue of heter achila. Is there can one eat this? Afilu Reb Shimon Gamliel. The question can be presented even according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, namely Reb Shimon Gamliel, who says that animals do not nurse the offspring of others. There's still room to analyze here. And by the way, if you were to say simply that that animals do not nurse the offspring of others, so then one would say, then you can eat this pig-looking creature. It's obviously this animal's offspring, the kosher variety animal's offspring. Nevertheless, there is room to raise a question. In Timtza Loimar Sovar Yoledes Mrachmo Demino, Delav Mino Lo. Even if you say within Reb Shimon Gamliel that an animal that has already given birth will then show rachmonis, will then show mercy, compassion, and nurse another one's offspring, but that's only if it's its own variety. But if it would be an outside variety, it would never nurse it. Now, according to that, if you see a pig then, pig-looking creature nursing from a sheep, it must be that it's really a sheep. And hence you could slaughter eat it. Oy Dilma. Or, it's, as far as Shimon Gamliel is concerned, Delav Mino Namim Rachmo. Once an animal has given birth, it will nurse even a foreign variety creature. And that would lead us to think that this pig-looking creature may in fact be a real pig. And hence forbidden to eat. Well, all of the cards are on the table, so to speak. The questions have been raised with the varying possibilities, but no conclusion. Teku. So this, the issue of one seeing a pig-looking creature nursing from a sheep, as far as we are concerned, we don't have a definitive answer as far as what Shitas HaRabbanon would be regarding Bechora, and what Reb Shimon ben Gamliel's shita would be with regard to eating. The Mishnah. Before learning the Mishnah, we have a topic heading in the outside margin under the Nosei heading call, and we've written there, Pinui Mokom Seor B'Tzavur B'chor. A B'chor, as you know, is an animal that is forbidden to work with and forbidden to shear for its wool. What about the clearing a spot on the sheep's neck? The sheep is a woolly animal. And the truth is that we don't really have to limit our discussion to sheep, but hair removal in general. When you're dealing with a b'chor, we said there is a restriction with regard to shearing animals. What about the moving aside or the clearing of a space on its neck in anticipation of slaughtering? It is pointed out that one cannot slaughter with the knife, we'll say, being covered by the neck hair. That creates a problem known as chaloda, of a slaughtering knife being covered while the shechita is taking place, while the slaughtering is taking place. So that we're interested in making a clearing on the animal's neck. However, if you're dealing with a firstborn, you are running into a potential problem. So with that background in mind, we turn to the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi ben Amshulam Oimer, Hashochinas HaBachor Oise Mokom Bekupitz Mikan Umikan. A person who is about to slaughter a Bachor is allowed to, using his kupitz, the slaughtering knife, can make a space on either side of the knife, in other words, make a type of clearing, V'toilesh Ez HaSeor, and remove, pull out the hairs, even though you pulled out the hairs, you leave them entangled with the other neck hairs. So you make a clearing for the knife, but at the same time don't remove the hairs altogether and put them on the side, but rather leave them entangled with the other neck hairs above and below the knife point, the knife space. V'chein toilesh es haseor lirois mokoim mum. And likewise, one is allowed to remove hairs over a part of the animal's body where there is a blemish, and you need to show the blemish to an expert, to paskin, to issue a ruling whether it's an official blemish, a permanent blemish that would thereby render the b'chor unfit as a korban, and one would then be expected to slaughter it outside the Beis HaMikdash. So as far as the ability to see carefully, to see the blemish, that involves at times the need for hair removal. So the Mishnah is giving license to the hair removal, even though you're dealing with a Bechor, for the purpose of noticing a blemish. Now we turn to the Gemara. Omar Rav, Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi ben Hamshulam. Rav paskins, he rules that we shall follow the teaching of Rabbi Yosi ben Hamshulam. In other words, there is this leniency of hair removal or hair clearing in order to enable the slaughtering and the mum observation to take place. As we continue in the Gemara, we notice a long question marking, the shin that is encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. The shin is a she'ela, question. Before learning the Gemara itself, we glance at the outside margin under our no-say heading. Ha demutter lefanois mokom seor betzavar b'chor. That which we've ruled that one is allowed to remove the neck hairs of a firstborn. Ha'im pu'ula doime lefnei shchitas kol behema mutur la'asosu b'yontav. Is a similar action allowed to be practiced on Yom Tov with regard to the slaughtering of any animal? First of all, one is allowed to slaughter for the purpose of eating meat on Yom Tov. On the other hand, one knows that there's a problem of chaloda. We mentioned that the knife must be exposed, not covered by neck hairs. And in the event that a person didn't prepare the animal before Yom Tov by removing its neck hairs, the spot that the knife is going to cut, would one be allowed to do that on Yom Tov itself? The Gemara will present this as a long question within the Aleph Oidim or Beis structure, meaning part one side of the question, and then Oidim or possibly Beis, the second side. These points are marked in the Gemara. You'll notice a little Aleph. A few lines later, a squiggle underlined expression Oidim, and then a Beis. In addition to that, marking wise, we also have a double underline. This under our Mivneh heading, we have written B'yom Tov Osur or Mutter. The two sides of the question are presented with the possibility of it being forbidden on Yom Tov, or according to the second method of analysis, the Beis approach, it will then be allowed on Yom Tov. So now, the Gemara. Bomine me Rav Huna. The question was asked of Rav Huna, Kenegdo B'yom Tov Mahu. A parallel action with regard to the slaughtering of any animal, not non-Bechor, any mundane common animal, on Yom Tov will this action of hair removal be allowed? Now, the two sides. Aleph. Taimo de Rabbi Yosef ben Amshulam. Is Rabbi Yosef ben Amshulam's leniency in the Mishnah, or allowance in the Mishnah, Mishum de Kosovar Toilesh Lav Hainu Goizes? The reason he makes an allowance for the hair removal is because the action of tolesh, of pulling out hairs, is not gozes. The prohibition with regard to a bechor, let's just not forget that Rabbi Yosef ben Amshulam was addressing the issue of bechor. So his allowance was because, possibly, the pulling out of hairs is not in violation of bechor rules. Bechor rules prohibit only geziza, a shearing action, not a hair extraction operation. Well, if that's the analysis of Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulam with regard to the Bechor, Ubiyom Tov Aser, but that same action of doing, of Tolesh Seyar, of pulling out hairs on Yom Tov would be prohibited. Davide Oiker Dover Migidulo, the prohibition is one of uprooting something from its point of growth. Oker Dovar Migidulo is a category of forbidden activities when it comes to Shabbos and Yom Tov. Oidilmo, the Almo, Savar Rizvi Ben Amshulam, Tolesh Hainu Gozes. It might be, however, that Rabbi Yosef Ben Amshulam categorizes Tolesh as a form of Gozes. That they are not separate activities. Well then, if that's the case, if Tolish is Gozes, and Gozes is an action that's forbidden to do to a Bechor, why is he allowing it? V'hainu taimo deshari, and the reason that he, Rabbi Yossi, is allowing it, davile davar shein miskavein, because in removing the hairs, he doesn't have intention for the hair removal. His intention, his kavana, is for something else. His kavana, his intention, is for making room on the neck for the knife. If it happens to result that hairs get removed, or we can say if it happens that geziza took place, that was not his intent. And because of this category or analysis called Dover Shein Miskavein, it is allowed to be done. Uvi Yom Tov, Dover Shein Miskavein Mutter. And the parallel case on Yom Tov likewise would be Mutter, because the person's intention is not to remove the hairs. The person's intention is to make room for the knife. If hair removal happens to take place, that is not a problem because he didn't have that as his intent. And Rashi also adds that as far as making room for hair, that could take place even without actual hair removal. So the question has been raised. Omar Lahu, Rav Huna responds, Zilu Shailua L'Rav Hananel. go and ask of Rav Hananel. I Omar Halacha K'Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulim, if he, Rav Hananel, tells you that the halacha is to be like Rav Yosi ben Amshulim, that there is an allowance with regard to the Bechor, if shit l'chu, I will then give you the reason. In other words, up till now, as far as the reason behind Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulam, as you can see, the Gemara presents two possible forms, approaches of analysis. So Rav Huna says, first, let's get it clear whether the halacha goes like Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulam, that is there, at, to begin with, an allowance. If Rav Hananel tells us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi ben Amshulam, then I will give you his reason. Asu Shailuha. So they went and asked Rav Hananel. Rav Hananel, Rashi points out, was a Talmud of Rav. Omar Lahu, Hochi Omarav. So Rav Hananel told the people sent by Rav Huna, thusly says Rav, Halacha Rav Yosi ben Hamshulam, that we paskin, we rule like Rav Yosi, we offer this leniency of hair removal for the purpose of shechita of a bechor. Asu l'kamei de Rav Huna, they came now to Rav Huna Malhu, and Rav Huna answered, Kenegdoi b'yom tov mutter. The parallel action on Yom Tov would be allowed. Well, By taking that approach, we then understand that Rav Yosi ben Hamshulam was following the Dover Shein Miskaven approach, which would then have us understand that the act of Tolesh is a form of Gozes, and even though Gozes, shearing, is something forbidden to do to a Bechor, since he did not have that as his intention was not to shear the hairs or the wool, but rather to simply make space for the Shechita knife, and if it so happened that hairs got removed, so be it. That's called Dover Shein Miskaven, and as such, an act of Dover She'ein Miskaven is something that is allowed to be done on Yom Tov. Itmar Nami, Omar Rav Hananya Bar Shalmiyo Mishmei de Rav, Kenegdoi be Yom Tov Mutter. That the same act of hair removal for Shechita purposes would be allowed on Yom Tov. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.